Hi, I'm David Fettis, and this portion of our sociology course deals with religion. So let's get into part one of our thinking about religion. Sociologists study religion the same way they study other social institutions like education or government. The aim, according to the textbook author, is primarily to understand religions, but also to predict what religions will eventually do or what will become of religions. To do this, sociologists employ demographic techniques, survey analysis, ethnography, and other methods. So surveys are ways of talking to a lot of different people and asking them questions. Ethnography is spending time in a culture and getting close to them. There's different techniques that the social sciences use, and they apply those to people and their religious life as well. Sociologists study religion not to prove or to disprove or to normatively evaluate religion. Sociologists aren't interested in whether a religion is right or wrong. This requires sociologists to assume a relativistic perspective that basically takes a neutral stance toward issues of right or wrong, or true or false. Hold on. This is an interesting claim, that sociologists have no axe to grind in this. They just look at all religions neutrally, and they don't have to decide whether a religion is right or wrong. Let's pause and look at sociology itself. The discipline of sociology is affected by its stance towards religion. They say the social scientific study of religion can be challenging from a faith standpoint, as it provides alternative naturalistic explanations for many elements of religion. For example, the sources of conversion experiences. So they say, hey, we're just social scientists doing our job. We're going to give naturalistic explanations for many elements of religion. We're neutral. We're not going to say what's right or wrong. So let us scientists do our job, even if it ruffles your feathers a little bit. Well, let's consider a little more about the relationship between sociology and religion. First thing to consider is the founders of sociology. Auguste Comte was an atheist. He wanted a secular religion of humanity that worshipped humanity and not the gods or a god. He believed that societies evolve from religious to metaphysical, more into philosophy, and then scientific. And all advanced societies will be scientific and leave metaphysics and religion behind, because that's what he did. He was an atheist. Karl Marx was an atheist. He said religion is the opiate of the people. It dulls workers to oppression that they're going through, and religion functions to keep society the way it is. But he did not believe in God at all, and he had his own theory about religion. Emil Durkheim was an atheist. He said that religion comes from society and from human consciousness, and he even liked religion a bit. He said it serves some very valuable, useful functions, but it's just humans projecting what they need for society and for their own identity onto a world beyond them. Max Weber was an atheist, and Max Weber believed in disenchantment. He believed with modernization that fewer and fewer people would be religious. And he thought that was a sociology observation, but perhaps his own take on things influenced his way of seeing things. Now, if you know much about sociology, you know these are not just names I pulled out of a hat, random guys who happen to be atheists. If you ask who were the founders, the main movers in the discipline of sociology when it was being originated, you would come up with Comte, Marx, Durkheim, and Weber. All of them were atheists. Do not suppose that it doesn't matter what you believe, and you can just be a social scientist looking at all the religions and take a very objective view, and that's just fine. The fact is, if you're an atheist, you're going to look at things like an atheist, and you're going to be biased against various religious viewpoints. That doesn't mean that these guys had no insights worth hearing, no thoughts worth pursuing. But be aware that the claim the textbook makes that sociologists are just neutral. They don't worry about what's true or false, what's right and wrong. Hey, Karl Marx himself said, the goal is not to understand the world, but to change it. Okay? His goal was to change things, and he wanted to change them from an atheistic point of view. So, take that into consideration as you consider how sociology views religion. Are sociologists objective? Well, they claimed to study religion scientifically and objectively, but total objectivity is impossible. Sociologists are not standing apart from all other groups as neutral observers and analysts. They are part of a group. Be aware of the biases of the sociology group. Most sociologists are unbelieving in religion, and they are leftist in politics. They are not objective in religion or politics. I'm not now attacking them. I'm simply telling you the way things are about sociology. They said in the earlier part that sociology offers naturalistic explanations for religious beliefs. Sociologists embrace a method that claims to make no assumption about God's reality. Whether God is real or not real, that's not a concern of sociology. But if that's where you start, this means that all sociological accounts of religion avoid questions of whether God is real or whether a particular religion is true. Only social and human factors are allowed in a sociological explanation. This is kind of similar to science that will consider any hypothesis of origins except that a creator did it. And some of those scientists will say, well, we're not against the idea of a God existing. We just seek to explain everything in observable terms. But what if the origin of the world was a God who made it? And in the same token, when it comes to sociology, if you're trying to explain the Christian religion in terms of the social dynamics of people living in the Roman Empire at that time and in the Jewish population of that time, you can gain some useful insights into that. But might it not be possible that if somebody actually rose from the dead and appeared to people, that would help his religion take off a little bit? If he actually walked on water? If he actually fed 5,000 with bread? If he did that, it might help the religion to get off the ground. It's not just a matter of social dynamics. And so you have to decide in the matter of Jesus whether he actually did those things. Because if he didn't, all the talk about the sociology in the world won't help you very much. And if he did do those things, then you really should believe in him regardless of what the sociologists have to say. And you really should explain the origins of the Christian religion primarily in terms of the extraordinary nature of Jesus Christ and of the Spirit whom he sent into people. So, we can offer naturalistic explanations and social explanations of certain aspects of reality, including certain aspects of religion, but let's not assume that you understand religion if that's all you have looked at. And by the same token, when you look at other religions, you can't just say, well, they do this and that, and we're going to stay out of the gory details of deciding whether it's true or false or right or wrong. A sociologist can look at a religion and say, well, yeah, they burn widows when a husband dies, but, you know, we're just observers. We don't have to decide whether that's good or bad. I've noticed that most sociologists don't take that approach to income inequality. They want everybody to have the same income, and maybe they should. Anyway, they have a position. So does that mean sociology of religion is worthless? No. It could be misleading if you take all the claims of the sociologist to be neutral at face value, but it can have a lot of value to study religion from a sociological point of view because religions involve people. People are social. They're not just spiritual. Christianity is social and spiritual with the work of God, and let's face it, many other religions could largely be explained by their social function because they worship gods who do not exist. They are based on things that did not happen. And so the sociologists aren't entirely wrong in saying, hey, the main explanation for how this religion got off the ground is these sorts of things were going on in the people group, and they came up with these gods. The Bible itself says that most gods and goddesses are invented, and most of them are invented to suit the people who wanted something. So it's helpful to look at a lot of religions in terms of the social dynamics, and even Christianity. We should look at some of the social aspects of it, because even if we believe and know that Jesus rose from the dead, that the Holy Spirit was outpoured, that God is real, that we need to know Him, that He's with His people, that the church is advanced by the power of God, churches still are made up of people, and people interact. And sociology looks at how people interact and how they organize themselves, and they can give us some insights. Church growth and the church growth movement often involves sociology. People tend to join groups that don't have a huge distance socially from the one that they're already part of. And that may be good, that may be bad, but it's a fact. And if you're a missionary, or if you're an evangelist, you've got to think about how to deal with that. The Apostle Paul said, well, to the Jews I became like a Jew, to the Gentiles I became like a Gentile, to those having the law I became like one having the law. Sometimes it's a desirable thing that a missionary learns how to lower the barriers as much as possible between himself and groups that he's not as much like, except when he's trying to connect with them. So sociology can help you to understand a group and to better associate with it while you're trying to share the gospel within that group. And sometimes Christian mission and evangelism can go way too far and say, well, we've got these insights from sociology and from marketing to certain social groups, and if we just employ these principles, we can get people to join our group. And they can. And I'm afraid some books on evangelism and church growth ought to be subtitled, How to Grow a Religious Group in the Power of the Flesh. Because they could grow a religious group even if Jesus wasn't involved, even if the Holy Spirit did nothing. Because there are certain principles that if you follow them, you can make a group grow. And you might do it without the power of God. So understanding the sociology of it can help you realize, hey, just because my group is really taking off doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's wind are in my sails. Might be, might not be. But I can't just assume that's the case because socially it's doing well. Beliefs are influenced by social factors. I'll talk in a different presentation about how your social setting shapes your mind, about the social plausibility structures and the social construction of knowledge, even in the way that we form our religious beliefs. So believing and theology are not totally done in a vacuum. I said that sociologists are part of a group. Well, so are theologians. Theologians are shaped by the groups that they're part of. Christians are shaped by the churches that they're part of. And so understanding how social factors shape the way we think is very important if we want to be leaders in the things of God. And let's face it, sometimes we get a little peeved if we're Christians at sociologists who try to debunk things. We say, oh, this one was an atheist and that one was an atheist, and so they were. But some theories of religious motives may apply to us more than we want to admit. Marx said religion is just the opiate of the people, and of course religion, in the Christian faith in particular, may be true. That doesn't mean a lot of Christians didn't use it to keep slaves in their place, or to tell poor people, oh, you'll be happier in a different life, and meanwhile we're not going to work at all to try to make life better for you in this life. People might use religion as opium to keep others drugged up on religion so that they don't have to give them fair pay and good working conditions. Marx was right about that. He wasn't right that there's no God, but his basic anger against Christianity was partly provoked by the bad behavior of some Christians during the Industrial Revolution and to societies that claim to be Christian. And I could give other examples of observations that sociologists make that we might not like very much, but they're truer than we like to admit. Sometimes segregation along racial lines, the sociologists will talk about that. That'll make us fidget. I may wish my church were more diverse than it is, but I better at least admit that the sociologists have a point when they say that many churches tend to be segregated along ethnic lines or along the lines of wealth and privilege. So these are valuable things to know when we study the sociology of religion.